Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast. I am Dax Holt, straight from California. My co-host, Adam Glenn, straight from New York.
Dax,
how are you,
sir? What's happening, buddy? I'm good, man. It's good to hear from you. It's good to see you. Things have been crazy here today. I get a call from a restaurant. This restaurant hits me up, a popular celebrity hotspot in New York City. And they're like, hey, we have some celebs here. We have Larry David here. We want you to come and get him. I'm like, okay, let's go, right? I get there, and I'm waiting for Larry David for like 2 hours. A guy comes out. I'm sitting there with a buddy of mine for 2 hours waiting for Larry David, even though I know he's not like a paparazzi guy. He's not like the biggest fan of it. I wait for 2 hours. The guy comes out. He looks nothing like Larry David. And he was like, did you get him? I was like, wait, that was the guy you thought was Larry David? This restaurant wasted 2 hours of my time. And I should have said to him, like, hey, give me a free meal, because that's usually what this restaurant does. They actually give me a free meal after I shoot their stuff. But I was so pissed off. I was like, dude, are you serious right now? Like, this is the story of my life as a paparazzi, as a photographer, as a journalist in New York City. It's just... it's insane. It's crazy.
And you're like, I can't be wasting my time during quarantine right now.
Guys, I have so much stuff to do. I have to fold. Do you know how long that takes me? I'm doing like that good like gap folding, like how they fold in gap.
How they
like
fold in gap. Like that's what I do.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hello. Hey, I'm recording a podcast right now. Can I call you back? Bye.
No, sorry. Is that a landline?
It's all good.
Yeah.
You.
Who still has a landline?
Yeah, well, you know why I have a landline? It's because the area that I live, we don't always get great reception on our cell phones.
So, gotcha.
And only, like, my nearest and dearest have the landline.
So you know, like, when the landline comes in, it's usually, like, maybe, like, 12 people. Like, that's how it is. It's exactly. One of those 12 people.
Well,
you know what? Let's just
my friend Laura.
Let's just introduce our guest, because, I mean,
maybe
the phone call
more,
came in. It's time.
Maybe you guys can listen in on more calls.
Yeah.
Well, we have friends? A. Should I call? Who should we call?
Dude, trust me. We can play that game.
Call anyone.
Yeah. I would love to see who's in your Rolodex.
Yeah, don't tease us here.
Well,
that exciting. People are always like, don't you have celebrity friends? I'm like, no.
Isn't that the funniest thing is, it's like people, wait, first of all, let's, Dax, introduce who we're talking to right now.
Yeah, we are very excited about today's guest. We are talking to host, author, comedian, podcaster, extraordinaire, Melissa Rivers. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's
since we're all
kidding?
Kind of
course.
Climbing the walls.
So I think we were just talking about, Melissa, do people think like, oh my God, because you've been on red carpets, because you've been in the business for so long, like, oh, you know this person. Can you get them on the phone? Can you get this person? Can you talk to this person? Does that give you, for me, it gives me like stress, because I'm like, I can't. I don't really know them like that. I don't have a contact. If I see them, I might say hi, but I don't have that type of relationship. But people assume you have this relationship with these people. Does that stress you out at all, or are you just used to it?
It doesn't stress me out, but you're 100% right. Everyone's like, don't you have, you know, you need to call some of your celebrity friends and let's all do this. I'm like, literally, I have like, and I'm thinking I have in my phone, I might have like 4 numbers. Literally. That's it.
That's it?
Like,
okay, out of the 4 people, who's the most famous one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think I don't think any of them are like on the A-list anymore. You know what I mean? These are people that I've like actually been friends with for years.
Yeah. Do you feel like celebrity friends come and go depending on where you're working at the time? I feel like that is something like, I feel that there's some celebrity friends that are like, oh, well, I'm going to use you because you're on Fashion Police right now and I want to be on the show. And then suddenly, you know, you're not on it, and then they're like, oh, I'm not going to call the person anymore. Have you come across that a lot in your industry?
Of course. But the weird thing is, from all the years on the red carpet, really, like, people feel like they really know me. Like, celebrities will be like, you'll see someone in a restaurant, you're like, oh my God, how are you? You know? Because for so many years,
yeah,
we had relationships on the red carpet, but it wasn't like anyone exchanged numbers.
But you know what it is? It feels like
it wasn't like I sent, you know, airdrop me the photo.
See, for me, it's like, carpet, I'm on the streets. But I feel like in some ways I know them, but I don't really know them and they don't really know me. But we feel like we're in the business together. Like, we don't work together necessarily, but we work together in a way. So you feel like you kind of know them and you wish sometimes you had more of a relationship with them. And it's difficult, but it's awkward, but you just make it work. How do you feel about that?
100%. I see the same two guys at LAX. They're like, hey, how are you? And now it's like, hang on, can you let me at least put some lip gloss on? They're like, okay, don't worry about it. You know, there's definitely, you know, especially when you go to an event and everyone's in the red carpet area and all the photographers are there. I after all these years, remember, I grew up in this business. I know 90% of them, you know, and all the guys for all the camera operators, for all the shows. Like, I see the E! Crew on a red carpet, and it's like, you know, those are the people that I'm happy to see. But absolutely, you feel like you have relationships, and especially because, you know, I was pregnant on the red carpet, all these different things, and they always are like, now what I get is, we can't believe Cooper's in college. I'm like, yeah. Yeah,
that's amazing, right? Time flies by. It is really wild. Do you want to do more red carpety stuff again, or are you kind of over that? Like interviews, I mean, like what you're leading the interviews.
I don't know. I think the time my mom and I spent on the red carpet was, it will never be able to be replicated. And sometimes you just need to leave something alone. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's a little bit of you go out on top, don't we? Now, if we could come up with a different way to do it that's perhaps more entertaining, yeah, I'd be up for that. But also, now you can't anything.
That's what I was gonna say. Is the red carpet's not fun? Like, are they just outdated nowadays? Because the interviews you have to do, they're so corny, they're so fake. Like, people don't want to see that. I mean, at least as a viewer, for me, I feel like people are just sick of hearing, who are you wearing? Because it's a brand that I can't afford, the average person, or I don't really care.
Hey, easy on that who are you wearing thing, buddy.
But
you just back off of that one.
But Melissa, do you think it's like, why are you saying that you can't really ask or talk about the stuff you want to talk about? Why are they not as fun or interesting?
First of all, you can't even ask what someone is wearing anymore. And honestly, you as a viewer maybe don't care. Me as a viewer, I want to hear. I mean, we always just say the red carpets, the fashion is a magazine come to life. It's the fantasy. It's the fun. Plus, everyone knocks everything off. So you can get it in your stores. But you can't say anything. You can't ask anything. You can't make a joke. You can't. It's just, you have to be, it has to be this love fest. And, you know, the award shows are so self-congratulatory anyway. At least, you know, my mom and I used to say, like, the red carpets are fun. Everybody who isn't a nervous nominee, my mom used to say that it's like the best cocktail party in the world. You get to talk to everybody for 5 minutes and move on. But now you can't say anything. I sit there and I watch, they're just boring. I sit there and I watch them and I'm like, oh, please, somebody ask something fun or interesting, or, you know, not, we all know that you're excited to be here.
I feel though it's been like that for a long time. I just felt like you and your mom got the pass that other people didn't get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that there was that time. It's been going on like that for a long time. But, like, you guys could break that mold. You guys could ask questions that other people couldn't ask. You guys could say things that other people couldn't say. And that's what made it fun.
I agree. That's why, well, first of all, we were the first ones out there, but that's why it was so popular. That's why, you know, an event that's now a regular thing for people and people don't even think about it not being there, we created. You know, I often say I'm not sure if, you know, we did a good thing or released the Kraken. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, why were you and your mom able to get away with that stuff? Do you think it was the charm? Do you think people knew what you guys were doing, or was just the times different?
People expected it of my mother. You know, that was her brand, was outrageous. I think it was the time. I think it was, at the time, it was very novel. And people would literally line up and wait to talk. Because it was fun. It wasn't another interview. I mean, and you know that from going out and being a quote unquote photographer, videographer out on the street. You want to ask something that's compelling or fun or interesting or get a funny answer, something.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. What do you say, Dex?
Did you guys have anyone that like didn't get the joke though? Like was screw these two. I'm not going to talk to them because they didn't understand the humor behind it.
Oh yes. I mean, there's lots of people with no sense of humor and that's just, they bore me anyway. I don't want to talk to somebody with no sense of humor.
I got to imagine. Yeah. I got to imagine there's people that like just wouldn't understand or thought too much of themselves or were like, screw this, you know, these two women, I'm not going to talk to them because it's like, it's not funny to make fun of other people. But at the same time, it's like, you need that sometimes. You need the humor. Like right now, I got to imagine Joan would be ripping the biggest COVID-19 jokes on the planet just to lighten everyone's mood and kind of make you relax a little.
Yes, that she would be. And I'm actually getting ready. I think it'll start going up tomorrow. I'm starting to post some of my mom's joke cards.
Oh, that's so cool.
On my Instagram and Twitter and all that. You know, we can have some levity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what are they? Tell me more about these joke cards. Have they just been, you've been storing them? You've been keeping them to yourself?
I still have the actual file cabinet. It's in storage. And we've digitized, I think it was something ridiculous. I think it was like 87,000 unique cards and then some ridiculous number with cross-referencing. So, you know, we're going through the database and pulling ones that we feel like are relevant now. And it's so awful. We have to start to laugh.
And your mom had like a, what were you gonna say?
Agreed.
Did you guys see the article? The story that came out of Oregon about Boober Eats.
No, what was that?
Oh my God, it's hilarious. No. So the strip club has decided, because they serve food, to still offer food, and they have the strippers now go with a security guard and they deliver your food, and for like $30 they'll do like a little dance and stay 6 feet away, and the guy is calling it Boober Eats.
That's good.
Is that not genius?
I was going to say, some people have become very creative how to deal with the coronavirus, how companies have been able to change up their products or make it, you know, something that people can actually still buy. I think it's amazing. Like, that's one thing. I think once coronavirus is gone, people are going to look back and be like, America was either really ingenious with some of the things. We came together. We spent more time with family. I think there will be some positive outcomes.
Aren't you little Miss Sunshine?
Too.
back to the red carpet. What was the best red carpet event, and what was like the one you're like, ugh, we got to do this event? It was just boring, terrible.
Golden Globes, always the most fun, because you had TV and movies, and this was back before movie stars were also doing TV shows. So you had people actually who are fans of each other on the red carpet. It was early in the year. Everybody had just gone back in production from vacation. Nobody hated each other yet, and there was alcohol. So, and it was all, and at the time, all the parties were still in the Beverly Hilton hotels. So everybody was riding the elevators afterwards and running around. So it was just so fun. It was like a giant house party, and it was loose. The most boring was always, it was a tie between the SAG Awards and the Oscars.
Really?
Well, the Oscars, everybody is so nervous and so anxious. And even people who are just attending or presenting, it's like going to your grandparents' house who still haven't decided who's in the will, you know? It was like everybody was like on good behavior. And the SAG Awards, it's just too many actors all being self-congratulatory.
That's so funny because we were talking to someone else recently that was a correspondent for another TV show, and they were saying the same thing. Like, the Golden Globes is like by far the best show to do a red carpet at. Everyone's fun. Everyone's getting drunk. Everyone's just loose. And you know that whoever's hosting is just going to be roasting everyone and having a great time. And they said the same thing. Like, the Oscars are just awful. Like, it's the most prestigious show, but it's awful as a host or a reporter on the red carpet because no one wants to be talking to you. They just want to go and find out if they want or not.
And everyone's so stiff. Everyone's so worried. And like I said, it's going to the rich grandparents' house. You're putting on long sleeves and covering the tattoos.
What?
So fun. Do you keep up on the award shows?
Yes, because I've been doing recaps, fashion recaps, and show recaps, which is something we couldn't do on Fashion Police, to actually talk about the content of the shows on my podcast afterwards. So I still absolutely watch them and, you know, take my little notes, figure out what I want to talk about.
In your opinion, who is the best person on the red carpet right now as far as hosts go? The one that really just is compelling, but interesting, but fun, but also professional?
Well, Ricky Gervais. He is absolutely 100 my favorite, and obviously when they had Tina and Amy, but he absolutely does not give a fuck, and it's fantastic.
So here's a question: if you were to partner up with Ricky Gervais and do red carpet stuff, would you consider that?
I would consider just even getting to sit in a writing room with him and hear and see that, you know, that there's people out there that you just want to, you just sit and watch their process. And I hate the word process, by the way.
What was the craziest thing you've ever seen on the red carpet? The one, like the craziest story, like, holy shit, we saw this. What the, like the one you're like, man, this was absolutely insane. The weirdest thing and craziest thing you've ever seen on the red carpet.
Oh, that I have to think. I don't know. We would see a lot of people that were clearly in fights. A lot of couples where they would be like holding hands and then they throw the other person's hand away. Or they would be, they put the hand on the shoulder for the photo and then brush the hand away. Very like Trump and Melania.
Yeah.
Those are always good moments.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there are so many. You know, I've seen people fall down. I've fallen down. You know, you just, there's so many. There's so many. It's hard to just pick one.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of the English actors smoke, and they would literally be like hiding cigarettes and smoking on the red carpet. And it was Ian McKellen, and he doesn't give a shit. And they're saying, you can't smoke. He's walking down the carpet smoking. And he stopped by me, and I'm like, oh, God, I could kill for that right now. And he turned around and gave me a drag off his cigarette.
That's
I'm
so
like,
great.
You're my favorite human being ever. It's killing me.
Yeah, who are your favorites? Who are the people that are just cool? Like, every time they come in, like, oh, my God, I need to get them. They're just fun. They're cool. You generally enjoy talking to that person.
Oh, God. You know, George Clooney, Tom Hanks. My mom's favorite was always Robin Williams. You know, it was always, what's fascinating, it was the A-listers were always the most relaxed and fun.
Yes.
It was the C-listers who were like, I'm too important. Don't talk to me. I'm sorry, I'm not doing interviews.
100%. From my experience, you know, again, you're on the red carpet, I'm on the streets. The bigger the celebrity, the cooler they are. Oprah, awesome. Will Smith, awesome. The bigger the celebrity, they get it. You know, and then you deal with the people that were, you know, nothing against Snooki, but this, you know, like, you know, the smaller people on celebrity scale. And they're like, really? You're the one who's going to give me issues? You're the one that's too cool for school? Like, do you know that I just talked to Oprah before you and she gave me all her time and you're the one going to be an asshole? Like, it's just, and that just makes you wonder about the business. Like, hey, if you're a good person, if you treat people with respect, and like, good things will happen to your career. You could potentially be to that status. What are your thoughts?
We always used to say it was third down on the ensemble cast of the sitcom. You know, it was the third or fourth down.
Yep.
They were the difficult ones. And of course, you had your traditionally unpleasant ones, like Tommy Lee Jones, who literally, you would see the whole press line like shudder because we knew what was coming. And he hated doing it, so he made it hateful for everybody. Nicole Kidman, and especially now with Keith Urban, but even just back in the day, she just had fun. She loved the fashion. She's funny. You know, you enjoyed those people the most who were just like, can you believe I'm here? This is fantastic.
Watching all these award shows, the Emmys or the Golden Globes, I'm seeing The Marvelous Miss Maisel walk away with a lot of awards. And when I see the show, I think Joan Rivers. Immediately my head goes to, this is based on Joan Rivers, even though no one's really saying it. What are your thoughts? Did they base that show on your mom's life?
I have to be 100% honest, I have never watched the show. And there's a particular reason. The first time I even heard about the show was when I was doing an interview and someone brought it up to me. And I'm like, what? And at the time, one of the writers on the show and I had the same agent. And I understand people don't want to reach out to someone like me for fear of lawsuits and someone being litigious. It's based on my mom and Phyllis, like a lot of these different women. And it was still so soon after my mom's death and so raw to me. I would have loved more than anything an email just saying, hey, your mom was one of the inspirations for this. We hope you love watching the show as much as we enjoy making it. I have never heard a word from anyone ever involved in the show. And I just feel like I understand people are fearful of lawsuits and this and that and the other. But come on. Just frickin' send me an email saying, hey, this was one of our inspirations. We hope you enjoy the show. I never heard a word. Just like I never heard a word about the show, the movie that the first time I heard about it actually was from a paparazzi at LAX, the movie that Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling did. I was literally in the airport at LAX getting my luggage. And someone's like, what do you think about? I forgot even what it's called. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And so why do you think that they'd be worried about a lawsuit? I feel that coming to you and saying, hey, we're basing so much of this on your mom's comedy and her life. We'd love for you to have some input and to really throw some more sprinkles of Joan in there.
Again, I think people are scared about, you know, me being litigious, which I'm not. Yes, there are certain things like her likeness you can't replicate. You know, there's certain IPs that you obviously own as the estate. And you know, people do all the time send me, let's do this, let's do that. Very often, you know, we found someone actually doing her act, her actual material, that we had to say you can't do that. You know, I don't understand, but those two were particularly hurtful is not the right word, but I guess hurtful is the word, that they never even just said, especially Mrs. Maisel, which was so on the heels of my mom's passing, where I was still so raw. Tell me your honor. And when I sent flowers to Jane Lynch after she won her Emmy for it last year, because she actually acknowledged my mom, and I sent her flowers saying, thank you.
Do you think that's you'll really get cool to the point where you'll want to see it because it is an homage to your mother, or you want recognition before you even waste your time streaming it?
Well, first of all, we're all in quarantine, so you know, I'm looking for new shows. And by the way, I just want to, you know, as a disclaimer, I am a huge fan of so many of the actors on that show, starting with Tony Shalhoub, who is absolutely one of my favorites. So it's no slam on the show. Everyone says it's amazing and it's, and I'm thrilled it's had the success it has. That it's had, because it does still help keep my mom's legacy relevant. I just, you know, you have to sort of separate the personal and the professional.
Yeah.
You know, so professionally, I'm thrilled it's out there. Personally, you know, I just wanted to, hey, you know, she was an inspiration.
Yeah.
So I don't know. By the way, I will probably break down and watch it, just like everything else that it's on. What are you guys watching?
Right now, I'm watching Tiger King.
I was
gonna watch
that
tonight. Yeah,
that shit is weird, you guys. It is so bizarre. These people are like straight out of like some fairy tale weirdness. I mean, you can't make this up. And the fact that it is all on tape, I mean, it really hit at the perfect time where everyone's stuck at their house, because I feel like it's one of those weird shows that you may not have turned on based on the preview, but because everyone's talking about it and no one has anything to do, it's just booming right now.
I watched one when I earlier this year about cat shows.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I can't remember what it's called for life me. That was hilarious.
Don't fuck with my cat. No, that was not it. Not that one.
No, but it was literally, and it's about this champion, you know, the competition between the two number one cats, and the number one cat is named Ooh La La.
There's some weird people out there, I gotta say that. And then we just watched The Spy with Sacha Baron Cohen. Have you seen that?
No, I'm writing all this
that
down.
It was really good. It's about a espionage and him getting into Syria and basically helping out Israel and letting them know what Syria was planning to do against Israel. And it's all based on a true story. Really fascinating, though. And it's Sacha Baron Cohen in a serious role, which is really cool to see him.
I'm rewatching a lot of old series that have a lot of episodes.
Okay.
Like, I went back and started watching season one of Frasier.
Oh, wow.
And it's
that's fun.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many seasons and you can just sort of pick up and drop off. So that's been really fun going back and sort of, like, I just started watching, again, I'm on season one of House.
Okay.
Some of the shows that we all so loved. I started Big Bang at the first season again. And it's just, you know, again, it's the kind of thing you can throw on in the background. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend going back and watching, starting at season one of Frasier, because it holds up. It is funny. Funny.
Have
funny.
You guys watched Money Heist?
No. Okay. I'm writing that down.
That is the number one recommendation. Money Heist is called La Casa de Papel in Spanish. It is the most amazing show. It's about robbing a mint. And it's now, they're just about to release like the third season of it. But the first, it's weird how they do it. They kind of break them in half. But it's so good. You have to watch it in Spanish. So even if you don't love reading subtitles, the Spanish version is just so much better. You hear the natural sounds and stuff. I've tried to watch dub over in English. It's just you don't get as lost into it. I'm telling you, one of the best shows, series out there. You will love it.
What movies are you guys watching?
Honestly, I've been watching so many just random YouTube videos. Like, I haven't really watched any movies because I saw all the movies. All the movies, I've been flying a lot this past year, so I watched all the movies on a plane, so there's nothing that really excites me.
Mm. Have you thought about going back? Like, I've also been going back and watching some of my old favorites. Stripes. Animal House was on the other day. Going back and watching, you know, which is hilarious. Was it Midnight Run?
Okay.
Great movie.
You know, it's fun to go back and just, you know, pop those on. And with my son, I get to, you know, show him a lot of movies that maybe he didn't see.
Absolutely. I think that's great.
I watched A Night at the Roxbury. I watched, you know, just a movie where I know all the lines. It's just good background TV.
Well,
let me ask you this one, Melissa. I'm sorry. You've, you know, from you being on the red carpet for so long and interviewing so many people, I mean, for me, if I had a bad experience with a celebrity, I feel like I can't support them. Like, for me personally, Ryan Reynolds was always a dick to me, so I can't even watch Ryan Reynolds movies. Do you ever feel like that? Like, you can't watch one of their movies because, like, oh my God, this person's such an asshole?
Oh my God, my list is so long of things I cannot watch and people that I cannot watch. You have no idea.
It's like I can't support them. It's just like I can't. I see who they are. I don't see them as a character. I see them as an asshole, and I can't even watch them.
100%. There are literally probably five actresses, whatever, you know, you want to call them. You know, I know you're not supposed to say actress anymore. Everyone's an actor, so the whole PC shit. There's like five of them that I cannot watch. I can't get past it.
Claire Danes for me.
Really?
Claire Danes was terrible. Multiple times. I even tried to talk to her. Just like, hey, how you doing? Just on the street. And she was, every single time, she was so nasty to me. I was like, fuck this, dude. Like, why am I? She ruined Homeland for me. I stopped after episode 6. I was like, I can't watch it anymore. You're too much of a bitch.
Oh my God. You know, I can't, I'm not going to even dare say who I can't watch because they'll come after me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I will say, like, I mean, there's some obvious ones if you just think about my family's history that I cannot watch.
Yeah.
I well,
you know, after
I know, I'm like trying to think so hard. I'm like, who would it be?
Jay Leno?
Perhaps. Well,
I mean, that's already known.
You know, no, I mean, like, there's just certain ones I can't watch. I don't, and it's no slam on their talent. It just is that
you don't want to support them.
I can't get past. I can't get past the personal relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And believe, you know, and I realize as I'm sitting here, that list just gets longer and longer and longer.
No wonder why. No wonder why you're looking for new shows to watch. You can't watch any of the old shows because all these people are assholes.
Or some of them are new shows now. I'm like, oh, I can't watch that. And everyone's like, have you watched blah, blah, blah? I'm like, I can't. Like,
not going to happen. Who? I got to know, growing up in a house with Joan Rivers, who did you meet when you were growing up? Who were the famous people strolling through your house when you were growing up?
You know, my parents ran a very traditional household. And again, a lot like me, they didn't necessarily have like lots of famous friends. They were like the dorky people. Like they weren't part of never part of the in crowd. Mm-hmm. They were too straight arrow. A lot of their friends were actually English actors.
Okay.
That had moved to LA. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it means nothing to anyone now, but like Laurence Olivier became friends with my parents, you know. Vincent Price was one of my godparents. You know, so it was sort of more of those people rather than, you know, here comes the, you know, some, you know, big famous 70s, 80s, 90s person.
Do you feel over time that changed? Because I mean, I feel like Joan was, you know, honored by so many people or loved by so many people. It seemed like she would just have so many celeb friends. Your guys' house would just be packed with it for Thanksgiving or whatever.
We did have some wild Thanksgivings and things like that. But in general, you know, my parents were both so not Hollywood in real life. They were both incredibly smart. My dad, very academic. All of their friends were, you know, everyone was a big reader. Everybody, you know, and not in a snobby way. It's just they didn't party. They didn't, you know, do it. So they weren't at all these big Hollywood gatherings. They just weren't comfortable. They didn't fit in. And my parents truly felt for me to be able to survive that world and the world that they worked in and lived in, that our home had to be super traditional. I have friends that called my mother Mrs. Rosenberg to the day she died.
Oh, wow.
It was very like, there's expectations. You clear the table, you clean your room, you get good grades. You know, there were expectations of behavior and all that kind of thing. That was the exact opposite of what you would expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think that's what saved me and that I didn't go the way of a lot of my contemporaries.
Mm-hmm. And you,
What you know, actually, it's funny, Dax. I was actually at her house. I was at Joan's house. She invited me upstairs one time, and she lived on the 60s on like 5th Avenue, 62nd and 5th Avenue. And that's what how nice your mother was, because, and I told Dax this before we spoke, she was, for me, she, people always ask me, who's your favorite people to talk to? Without a doubt, it was your mother, Joan Rivers, because what she would do, she was so smart, she knew how to handle it. And I wish other celebrities would do it, because I would see her and I'd be like, Joan, can we do something? And it was always, absolutely, ask me about this, ask me about that, tee me up. And I always like, yeah, for sure, because let me tee you up for you to hit a home run. And she was always ready. I would tee her up, ask her about three different things in the news. She'd give me three great jokes. And then she'd always go, here. And she would take the earrings from her ear and she'd say, give this to your grandmother. And she would give me the earrings from her ear and give them to my grandmother, which was this coolest and the sweetest thing ever. And then one day she was just like, honey, why don't you just come inside? I was like, oh, okay. And I went inside the her home, and it was the nicest. It was so cool because I'd never been in one of those places right there on Fifth Avenue. And but I always say she was the nicest, coolest, and I miss her so much, because it was so, it was just like, it was refreshing that people were actually good, because you deal with so many assholes in the celebrity, in the Hollywood life. When you had someone like that, it was like, ah, there's cool, fun, good people, and they give you a reason, and they make you support them.
Well, we're also all doing a job. Everyone forgets that everybody needs everybody. You know, actors can go and make movies, but if the press doesn't show up to talk to them, no one's going to know about it. It's, and I think a lot of people forget it's a completely symbiotic relationship. Do I think there are paparazzi that are too aggressive and over the top, and when they're swarming on people's cars and shooting into people's, you know, houses, and, you know, you've got to keep people's kids out of it. You know, you have to let these kids have a somewhat normal existence that their parent can drop them off at school or go to a game. You know, those are where it gets too crazy. But I just know from my personal experience, knock on wood, I, because of my mom, I was always trained to remember that we're all doing a job. And I think that's why, especially after my mom passed, those first few days where I felt very, very trapped in our apartment in New York, that I was able to say, and I had Cooper with me and we needed to get out and take a walk, I would say to the photographers and the videographers, you can get me to the end of the block, and then please let me, Cooper and I have to get out, we're trapped. And they would be completely respectful to the end of the block, and then away, they would let us go. And I've had so many times where good paparazzi have protected me from bad paparazzi. You know, I know there's
yeah, for sure.
world and pecking order and who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. And it's so easy to be nice. It's so much easier to be nice than shitty.
It takes less energy to be nice than to
be a dick.
Oh, my God.
You know? And that's just like, you know, you're just like, hey, you know, and you know, for years, you know, no, I always would say, please don't take pictures of my son. And it was respected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then the guys that did, I would watch the other guys come and be like, hey, no, like we don't do that.
100%. You did a lot of reality, well, not a lot, but you did some reality TV shows. You did Almost Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You did The Celebrity Apprentice. How are those experiences, and would you do it again?
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is a very different show now than it was. Again, I will do almost anything for charity, and that was for charity. Celebrity Apprentice was maybe the hardest show I've ever done. It made living in the jungle look like a fucking cakewalk. And people always underestimate what goes in to doing that show. You are going 6 days a week, morning to night. Our days would start at 5:36 in the morning. And the pressure to actually get these projects done. It would really depend on the show. It would really, if it was something that I thought would be fun to do, I would do it. But also I'm very competitive. So I don't know if I would do something that I didn't think I could win.
Did you enjoy the experience?
In hindsight, yes. During them, no.
I think your firing goes down in the Hall of Fame as one of the most talked about moments on The Apprentice. I think that was...
Well, it was bullshit.
Yeah.
And what people didn't, you know, and I had a huge meltdown at the producers because it was literally such, based on so many untruths, that it was, I flipped. It's like, I'm being told I didn't do anything. I was in a, if anyone remembers, I was in a cast.
Yep. You're in the, you're all, like,
and
boot.
The other two kept running yep. away. Yeah. And the other two kept running away from me. And I mean, we didn't see, like, fell out of the travel van carrying everyone's stuff. Like, it was, oh man, that just, and that's why I'm like, no, I'm not doing a post interview.
What was it like working with Trump back then?
It was good. You know, again, I constantly battle with the person I see on TV is not the person that I've known mm-hmm. or experienced personally. I have a, and it's very much a disconnect for me.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that the person that I had always dealt with is not the person that I'm seeing as the president.
Good or bad? I guess yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you mean by that, though.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Finale of The Apprentice with my mom. My son, Cooper, was, I think, in second or third grade. And he flew east to be with us at the finale. And his teacher said, because he was missing school, to try and get an interview with Mr. Trump. So we told him ahead of time, and, you know, so Cooper walks up to him with his little tape recorder, and he's, you know, he's shy. He's a little kid, and he didn't know what to say. So I watched Trump stand there and go, okay, ask me this. And Cooper would say, he would say the question, and Cooper would repeat it. And then he goes, that's a very good question, Cooper, and answer.
Yeah.
You know, then he would be like, you should ask me this. And then he would ask it, you know, and so. That's the person that I saw, you know, who did things like that.
Yeah.
Which was always lovely. And then you see this person on TV, and I am, as a disclaimer, I am straight down the middle, politically. I call myself, you know, I'm part of the great purple majority, which is for all of us that live in the center. You know, I always have a very hard time getting my head around the person I'm seeing versus the person that I've known.
I got to imagine, though, like...
Does that make more sense for that example?
I just got to think you're probably put under an extreme amount of pressure the second you enter the White House that I got to imagine people would change. Even, like, Obama, everyone, wouldn't you assume? Just, like, I know that you're... There's got to be some change in people, and I don't know if you're saying he goes from being sweet to, like, he's very different now, but I got to imagine the pressure is ridiculous, and none of us could imagine.
Well, I always am fascinated to see when they put up those pictures of what the person looked like on inauguration day
versus the end.
What the day they
oh
meet.
My god!
Versus
and how they're all grayed and, like, balding by the end. It's amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, with Trump. You know, I try, like I said, I live my life so in the middle, and I find that so frustrating right now, because I think the far end of each party are so fucked up mm-hmm. that it's ridiculous. I think more people live in the center
yep.
and we're just not as loud.
Yep.
You know, that's what yeah. I'm like, we need to start another party, like the Purple Party, for all of us that live in that sector.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, don't scream at the top of their lungs so they don't get listened to. And I think at the end of the day, all of us just want a healthy country, a country that, you know, thrives. And we fight so much with both parties that it's like we're not making progress. We're just staying in the same stagnant pool.
And I honestly believe there is something that we forget, which is... the word statesman, and that's a word that's antiquated right now because it actually means something. It means that you are polite, that you're above the fray, that you don't go to name calling, you don't go to all these places, that you are truly a representative of your constituents.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost so much of that. I think we've lost not all, but for the most part, and again, this goes on both parties, we've lost people don't have lost the realize have no longer realize that it's a privilege to serve, and with privilege comes responsibility, and the responsibility to set an example, a responsibility that the founding fathers wanted of true debate. And I'm sad. I think it's lost. And and now with my son, who's a, what are they, Gen Z, none of them want to go into politics. None of them want to go into public service. And I find that very disheartening.
Yeah. Do you,
as I go, by the way, as I go all history major and intellectual, don't worry, let me swim back to the shallow end of the pool.
How have you seen the Network E change over the years? I feel like the shows have changed. Do you feel they still do a good job? I mean, the content's a lot of Kardashians, but how have you seen the network change, and are you a fan of it still?
I survived so many regime changes at E that I feel like, you know, a cockroach who survived. No comment. I always go back to what my mother used to say on the red carpet. Don't forget, you can never spell cheap without an E.
Hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
But I truly love all my time that I spent there. I'm very sad about decisions they made that involve my shows and my franchises there. Again, you just have to, you know, I did feel quite a bit like, thanks for almost 20 years of service, and now don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, and here's a tote bag.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that's our business.
Yeah. It's.
And how do you develop a thick skin for it? How do you develop like a thick skin for that? You know, it's tough because it is a lot of emotional, and you know, it fucks you up. I mean, it's you know, constantly doors are open, constantly doors are closing your face, and we hear a lot of more no's than yeses. But how do you develop a thick skin when it comes down to it?
I think I used to have a thicker skin. I don't think my emotions were so at the surface at the time. But when I found out that Fashion Police wasn't coming back, I lost my cookies on the phone to the executives. I mean, I had to call and apologize because I was crying and angry and all those different kinds of things, because I cared so much. Fashion Police was my baby. Red carpets were my baby, you know? So that was very hard, and I'm not, you know, and then you get over it and you go, it's business. And you know, like I would always say, I get it and I understand on a professional level, but it hurts.
Well, were the ratings still pretty good for it? Like, did you feel that it was an unnecessary cancellation?
Which again is a business decision, so you can't argue with them. Remember, I've got one foot in the production side and one foot in the talent side. So I see both sides. It was a very expensive show.
Yeah, when your mother passed, I mean, it was definitely tough for everyone. Did you notice that people in the industry treated you differently, or did it change your career? Because maybe people thought of you as a twosome, but they didn't maybe think that you were able to carry on your own. Did your career change at all after everything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I get, and it's an uphill battle still. I get no, I'm basically thought of still as not being capable or not having achieved all the things that I did create and I did do. My mom used to say all the time that it was very frustrating for her to watch me never get credit. And I'm still digging out from under it. I'm in the process of selling another book, and it's a straight up humor book. And basically everyone's like, oh, we only want Book of Joan 2. Well, that's not what I want to write. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, the legacy has the good and the bad.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's frustrating. You know, as my mother always said, don't expect envy until, you know, wait, don't expect praise without envy till you're dead.
That's a powerful yeah, that's,
man, I miss you guys. I really do.
And her other big one was, vacations are for amateurs.
That's funny. Well, what how's your are you dating anyone? What's your status right now?
What
are you doing in that big house all by yourself?
Well, what do? I don't know. I have my friends. I work out of my house. My son is home now. You know, I had him here, and we also had an exchange student for 2 years, who is probably coming back this summer if we're ever allowed to travel again. So, you know, at the time it was great, you know, and he's a freshman. It's taken a lot of readjusting. I dated someone for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then it actually just ended. So
what?
Are you out there looking again?
Yeah, I don't want to spend my life just working and being by myself.
All right. So what's
I'm very lucky. I have wonderful.
All right.
Friends.
What's your ideal person? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for someone funny?
Brad Pitt.
Jewish? What are you looking for?
Brad Pitt.
Me too, somehow, and I'm not even gay, but I'll take Brad Pitt.
That would be all good. It's so cliche. Everybody says, "I want someone who's funny and nice and respectful and handsome." You know, it's the same shit everybody's looking for. Come on, gay, straight, whatever. We're all looking for the same shit.
But how are you dating, though? Like, you know, what do you do? Are you on the sites? Are you on the apps? Like, how does dating go for you?
It's basically through recommendations. It's basically, you know, friends set me up, or I know people, or I meet people when I'm out. It's hard.
I was going to say, it's got to be added pressure, because it's not, you're not someone going to a bar and you go, is this person into me because I'm famous? Are they into me because I'm wealthy? Like, what? I got to imagine there's a lot of questions that go through your mind when you go out on a date with someone.
Very much so. But my favorite is always when I go out with someone, or I've been set up with someone, whatever. And then we go and go to dinner and they play the game of, oh, I don't watch TV. Yeah. Or I don't know what you've done. It's like, oh, please.
Yeah.
I've been doing this since my mother went into labor on stage, which is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like urban legend. No, true. To the point where it's like, oh, please, let's not play this game. What do you do? I work in the entertainment business. Oh, I don't watch TV. Okay. It's like, oh, come on, dude. Don't fucking play this with me. I'm bored.
So you'd rather just someone be honest and say, yeah, of course I know who you are. And like, but that... Let's move on past that.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, let's not play this, you know, who are you game. I was literally at dinner with this guy, and I've gone out with him a couple times. He's really sweet. But he's like, so what have you done? I'm like, well, you ever watch a red carpet? Oh, I don't really watch TV. Okay, let's backtrack. Do you ever watch, you know, you go through the whole thing, and he's like, oh, I'm like, you're in the media world. Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we not play this game?
So is that an automatic strike against them then?
No, because he did laugh.
Okay.
Have you went on any dates with any celebrities? And not like it didn't work out, but like over the years, you've been kind of out there for a while now. You haven't been married for a while. So have you never went out on a date with any celebrities? I felt like there was you're on the red carpet. Any romantic connection with someone? Like, man, in the touch of their eye, like, we could probably have a good time if we went out. There's never anything like that? No one slipped their number to you on the red carpet?
No one ever slipped their number. Yes, I have felt that with people. No, nobody asks me out because I don't think I'm cool enough for another celebrity to be with. I don't up anybody's ratings or interest. I had a lot of hands on my ass, you know. That's about it. And I'm fine with that. Like, hashtag why not me too. If I can get my career, like, feel, you know, there were some that were a little, you know, inappropriate and that you're like, oh my God, please do not touch
me.
And then there were some that you're like, hey, more than I'm getting anywhere.
Wait, is this on the red carpet while you're interviewing people?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh my God, yeah.
I can't believe this. This is crazy. People actually will grab your ass while they're talking to you on red carpet so no cameras see it.
Back in the day, yeah, when I had an ass worth grabbing.
Wow, that's crazy.
Who's the most wasted person you've ever seen on the red carpet?
Oh God, I can't remember that. I honestly can't remember that. There were some really
It's
good
Courtney Love
there.
For sure. Come on. It's always Courtney Love.
Yeah, but when she was doing more red carpets was when she was doing the acting thing, and she was a little bit more pulled together.
Gotcha.
Well, the South Park guys went on the red carpet on acid, but I don't think anybody knew they were on acid when they went on. People found out after, but they were, like, floating around on the red carpet. So good. I mean, that's such a trip.
So good.
So, Melissa, tell us about your podcast, because I know you got a pretty successful podcast yourself.
Yes, I have to have you guys on.
We are available all the time right now. We have nothing going on.
Cool. I'll have you guys on, because guess what? I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I have a podcast called Group Text with Melissa Rivers. You have to be careful, because there apparently is another one out there called Group Text with Melissa and Andy, believe it or not. But there's a picture of me. You know you have the right one. And it started with, I have this great group of friends from college, basically, and we're all really close still, and they're all super smart, and then there's me. And it's just, you know, I went back and looked at the shit that's been said on our group text, and I'm like, this is fun. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pull topics, and it's a roundtable discussion, and just have people talking about stuff, and it's innately funny. You know what I mean? It's even when there's tough topics, I have such a dark sense of humor. And because my whole life, my family spent all their time dealing with everything with humor, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun. We did one on cults that I loved. That was fascinating. We do have one that just went up, I believe today, where I talk to four doctors about the coronavirus. One of which is a therapist that specializes in anxiety and OCD.
Oh, wow.
Because this is like hell for the OCD.
Yeah, like a
people.
Howie Mandel. Can you imagine what he must be going through right now? Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You know, and all the OCD people who are now like compulsively like organizing.
Cleaning and.
Who are freak, like, you know. So I try and have fun. It's always topics that I find interesting. Like I said, I think cults, we've done psychics, we've done mental health. We do mix in some serious topics. We did the college scandal, which I love because I have a child that was a recruited athlete.
I was saying, what, he's good at lacrosse, right?
Yeah, he plays lacrosse, and he was playing on a top D3 team.
Wow.
So I had a lot to say about that. One of the questions was, just how stupid are your children that you need to pay $100,000 plus to get them into school? Just how dumb are they?
I love it. And then your book, you were talking about a second ago, the comedy book. So is that already out, or is that something you're putting out?
No, we're luckily just starting it now. Okay. So it'll give me something to do. I have my website. I have a section on my website called Dear Diary. Which is where I let my inside voice run free.
And is that just melissarivers.com or what is it?
Okay. Yes. And, you know, I have pics and stuff like that. But my favorite parts to do, obviously, are the shopping parts because, well, I'm shallow. But also, I have a really good time writing my diary entries, the ones that are going up now. During this pandemic, I have started referring to my child as it and his friends as them. It came out of its room.
That's really funny. I love it. And then where can people find you on social media?
Melissa Rivers Official, you know, at Melissa Rivers, all the normal things you would expect.
Cool.
Love it. Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time. You're the person you're part of my, you and your family are a big part of my life coming up and in the industry and people that I kind of respected and admired and was inspired by. So I appreciate what you've done. I'm excited for what to see of you next for the next chapter. And just thank you for taking the time.
I am so sorry that we made such an impact on your life. It says what a low bar you have.
No, dude, I don't kiss ass on the street. I'm not on the red carpet. I fucking keep it real. I feel like this is great.
Very low bar.
If I could have the career that you had, I'd be very happy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Honda Accord. I'm driving a Honda Accord using coupons at the local supermarket right now. Fucking, you know what? I see what you're doing. I see where you're living. I could do that. I could use that.
Hey, everybody loves a good Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. Don't kid yourself.
Amen.
If you need one, I got plenty.
Well, thank you again.
Everybody loves that. By the way, everybody loves that CVS discount card.
You mean the CVS mile-long receipt?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much. I can't believe how long.
I know. Sorry we took so much time. You're just a fascinating person.
Honestly, you guys made it so fun and so easy.
Well, thank you.
And you're going to have to return the favor.
Sounds good. We're in.
Thanks, guys.
Dude.
Melissa Rivers,
she was awesome. So good.
She was great. Melissa Rivers, dude. That was fucking so cool.
That was a big guest for us.
But she really was. That was a big guess for us. But you understand, like, she kind of does what I've done, what you do, but in a
much bigger,
and she's done it for many years, very successful,
much more successful,
bigger scale on live TV where millions of people are watching. Yeah. But she's also been around for so long, and she's seen so many people. She's seen all different parts of the industry, and I just like her, again, for being real, because she gets it. She gets it, and I think that's just – for me personally, it's just comforting to know that someone of that size gets it and understands the stress and the hustle and the bustle with it. It was refreshing to talk to her.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because she comes from such a legacy and she's been a part of that legacy and she downplays it. Like, you can tell she's very modest. Like, she doesn't want to talk about how, I think, amazing her life has been, but we all know, like, she's living in a massive mega mansion. She's been crazy successful on her own. Like, the girl, she's really awesome. And I think I could hear in her voice that it has been a struggle with people wrapping up her success and just correlating it to her mom and not correlating it to her, when that's clearly not the case.
Yeah, no, I agree. The thing I found biggest takeaway for me personally was, you know, something for me that I have an issue with is watching TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of movies because I deal with all these celebrities and not all of them are good people. There's some that are great people and I go out of my way to support them. And there's been artists who I never was a fan of before. Then I met them and I was like, man, they're such a good person. I need to support them. And then just to hear from her, a person who's been with them on a live TV on a bigger scale. And she's like, yeah, fuck it. I can't support this person. Yeah. I can't be a fan of them because for what they've done.
But the fact that she's never watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel, like, that's huge. That's a big deal. Like, that's a massive show. And I think that most people correlate that show to her mom. And the fact that they haven't called her to say anything, that's a big deal. And I think that she's really taken that to heart because, you know, I think that she supports a lot of things that honor her mom, and that one clearly is an homage to her mom. And she's like, I can't even watch it because they didn't have the respect to pick up the phone.
Well, yeah, man, that was a really great interview. And if you're listening and you're a male or maybe female, who knows, and you're single and you want to reach out to Melissa Rivers, now is the time.
Don't deny that you don't know who she is.
Yeah, don't deny it. You might have a chance. So go after. Why not? You know, life is short and there's nothing else to do. So just do it. But Dax, thank you again, buddy. Always good talking to you. Always good hearing from you. And
same
great
here.
Job.
Don't forget, subscribe, download Hollywood Raw Podcast. You can find Adam at Adam Glenn on all social media platforms, including TikTok. You can find me at Dax Holt on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those. So thanks again. We'll see you guys next time.
A Parkville Media production.